When we last left our heroes, we were on Yud Aleph Amud Beis. We had gotten to the two dots. And the last thing we mentioned was that there's like a din de Rabbanon. According to the Rabbanon, it seemed, or it was a mitzvah that apparently is only like a lichatchila, that to go ahead and beautify the mitzvah with an eged, to bind the Arba Minim together, makes it more beautiful, but it doesn't, it's what we call not ma'akev, it doesn't prevent you from being yotzi the mitzvah. So I just want to throw out a small comment out there, which is that it seems that there are two types of zekeli v'anveyu, two types of hidur mitzvah. So this idea may help you in the future when you encounter the sugya. So it's interesting. On the one hand, on Shabbos, if a person, a moel, is doing a bris milah, so there are certain things that, certain strands of skin or whatever, that may not look the most beautiful if you like cut jagged or something like that. So the problem on Shabbos is on Shabbos you're not allowed to do things. You're not allowed to. It's malacha on Shabbos to do all kinds of things on Shabbos or chabura or whatever. So, but on the other hand, there's a mitzvah of bris milah b'yom hashmini. The Torah says b'yom hashmini yimol basar olaso, that it's the eighth day, no matter what, even if it comes out to be Shabbos. So we know we do bris milah on Shabbos. But what about things which are necessary to? What about elements of the mitzvah where one would be yotze bris milah, but it's certainly not the most beautiful job he's ever done? Is he allowed to go back, and is he allowed to finish off and make it beautiful, make it perfect, make it look nicer? Or does he have to stop at that point because, well, at the end of the day, he's yotze, it's not perfect, okay, whatever, what can he do? So as long as he's involved in the milah, so we say that even though it's not ma'akev, the milah, he's allowed to go back and do it because of zekei livan veyu, because you're part, it seems like, because part of the mitzvah is to beautify it. So here's where it gets confusing. At the same time, when it comes to lulav and esrog, it seems like there are certain things that are necessary requirements of the arba minim, but it's really just because that's what makes it beautiful. But if you don't have it, it sounds like you're not yotze. So what's bothering me? What's bothering me is that this gemara that we learned yesterday, on the one hand, the our gemara seems to indicate that this idea of zekei livan veyu, of hidur mitzvah, beautifying a mitzvah, is a nice idea. It's a mitzvah to do it. But if you didn't, what's the consequence? There's nothing. Because you're yotze. On the other hand, on Shabbos, it seems like you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos for hidur mitzvah. And when it comes to certain psulim, yavesh, if you have your esrog and it's all dried out, your lulav is all dried out, it's basul, because it's not beautiful. You don't have your hidur mitzvah. It's still a lulav. Right, it's a lulav. You don't have yidur mitzvah. It's not beautiful. So it sounds like a pasul your lulav. But if you don't bind it together, you're fine because that's just yidur mitzvah. So I'm totally confused. Is yidur mitzvah something that's part of the mitzvah? And if you don't have it, then you failed. Or yidur mitzvah is like, you know, an extra bonus. So it seems like a little bit of a contradiction. So can you think of a distinction between the two? Is there a difference between bris milah, the hidur mitzvah we're describing by bris milah, the hidur mitzvah that a lulav esrog hadas marvus can't be dried out, versus the binding of the four? All of them are hidur mitzvah. But how come two out of the three seem to be totally a part and parcel of the mitzvah, and this one is like, yeah, you know, it's a mitzvah to do. If you didn't do it, you're right. So it seems to me that the most obvious distinction is that when it comes to the milah and when it comes to a dried out lulav, those are beautifications of the object itself. Whereas by the arba minim, it's like decoration. You're binding them together on the outside, but you're not affecting the object itself. So it seems like there are two parts of beautification of mitzvos. The essential part of the beautification of the mitzvah is that the object itself needs to be beautiful. You're writing a Sefer Torah, the Sefer Torah should be beautiful. But the Sefer Torah means the writing of the Sefer Torah. I mean, it's also nice to have nice handles. You know, sometimes I got a little silver stuff going on over there, nice little carvings. You know, that's all very beautiful. But the Sefer Torah itself is the writing, is the cloth. Then you have additional beautifications on top of that. So there's part of the mitzvah seems to be integrated into the mitzvah, and part of beautifying mitzvah seems to be external things as well. They're both beautifications of mitzvahs. They're both hidur mitzvah. But the one that's integrated into the mitzvah itself, that the object itself, seems to be much more essential than that which is external. Okay. So the Gemara says like this. The other point that we made in the mission was that anytime you have something that's makabel tuma and it doesn't grow from the ground, so those are two points that are going to be problematic for schach. Schach cannot be makabel tuma, and schach must grow from the ground. The Gemara says, Mina hane mile. Where do you get those words from? How do you know that? So it's interesting because, like, where in the world do you see that schach can't be makabel tuma? Like, where? I don't know. It's a good question, right? Amar Rish Lakish. Amar Kra. Rish Lakish says, it's a pasuk. Ve'eid yala min ha'aretz. You know where this pasuk is? Ve'eid yala min ha'aretz. Gracious. The very beginning. There a cloud will arise from the ground. It sounds like, you know, it's a little foggy in the morning. Ve'eid yala min ha'aretz. What does that have to do with anything? Ma'ei. Davar shein ha'makabal tum. Ve'gidula min ha'aretz. It's just like a cloud, the mist. Is something that's not makabel tuma. Okay, fine. V'gidula min ha'aretz, and it grows from the ground. It's apparently moisture that's evaporating from the moisture that's on the surface, the dew, I don't know. It's evaporating, so it's coming from the ground. Af sukkah, davar shein makabel tuma v'gidula min ha'aretz. So to sukkah, meaning the schach, has to be something that's not makabel tuma, but does grow from the ground. Anybody have any idea what this Gemara is talking about? What the connection, where it is coming from? Thoughts? Who cares that in Bereishis there was like a mist that rose up from the ground? It was foggy in Gan Eden, and like I said, a cool fog machine. What does it have to do with Sukkah and Schach? Anybody? No? Nobody? All right. Where it says, ha nicha, that's at rest, that's Noah. Ha nicha, that's, I'm at ease. According to Laman de Omar, the one who holds, anane kavod hayu, that the schach represents the anane kavod. Okay, so now we understand the connection. If you're going to view the sukkah, the schach especially, as representation of the anane kavod, so then we can start to relate it to clouds, mist, moisture, all those kinds of things, yeah? So that's where the Gemara was coming from. Since the schach represents the Ananei HaKavod, so then it has rules of Ananei HaKavod, has rules of class. Okay? I mean, it's interesting, but it's still like a little bit funny. Meaning, so that's the essential component of clouds, is that they're not makabel tuma and that they grow from the ground. So schach should have to be something fluffy or something that, I don't know. You know. So it's interesting. Okay, but that's what the Gemara says. But according to one who holds that HaKadosh Baruch Hu provided them with actual physical huts, Michael and Meimar, so what are you going to say? Dusanias, we learn in a braisa, this was a machlokas tanoim. Kibbe sukkos hashavtis b'nei Yisrael, when the pasuk says that you have to celebrate sukkos every year to remember that I put you in sukkos when we left Mitzrayim. Anani kovet are you? Dibbe Rabbi Eliezer. According to Rabbi Eliezer, it was the anani kovet. That's what it refers to. That's what we're supposed to be remembering. Rabbi Kiva oimer, Rabbi Kiva says, sukkos mamish osu lehem. They made physical sukkahs. So I just want to point out to you an interesting Rashi here. There are different approaches to this. You mean, does Rabbi Akiva think that they didn't have Ananei HaKavod in the Midbar? That's not possible. Sounds like both of them existed. They both had some kind of hut. And in addition, they also had the Ananei HaKavod. The question is, which one are we representing and commemorating with our sukkah? That would seem to be the machlokas. So Rashi writes, why did they have sukkahs? So you see this Rashi? It's, I don't know, one of the last few Rashis on the page. So it says, sukkahs mamesh mipnei achama, because of the sun. B'shas chaniyasan hayoisin sukkahs. When they would camp, they would make sukkahs because of the sun. It's interesting, right? Because like, didn't the Ananei HaKavod protect them from the shroud and the shamash? Like, isn't that one of the things the Ananei HaKavod did? Protected them from the sun? So when they camped, they needed to make physical huts. Why? The Ananei HaKavod only protected them while they were traveling, not when they were camping. When they were camping, they had built their sukkahs. Anyway, something to consider, something to think about. But that's what Rashi writes, is that when they camped, they made sukkahs. But not because they wanted to keep out the rain or anything else. The sukkah's function, even in the Midbar, was for shade. And now that's where we come to all of our halachas. That shade becomes so significant, because if they built physical huts, that was for shade from the sun. Okay. In any case, that's a machlokes Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva. So, according to Rabbi Eliezer, if you ask Rabbi Eliezer, how come the schach is not allowed to be makabel tuma, and it has to be made out of stuff that grows from the ground? So he'll answer you, because it represents the Ananei HaKavod. It has halachas of clouds. The Ideal Min Aretz. and it grows in the ground. But, so that's an answer according to him. That's what I'm pointing out to you. You don't necessarily have to go any further than this because we have an answer so far. But according to Rabbi Akiva, we don't have an answer. Because why in the world would Rabbi Akiva take rules from clouds when that's not what the schach represents? So now we have a question according to Rabbi Akiva. Hanigal, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Akiva, Michael, and Meimar. Rabbi Akiva, what are you going to say? So now the Gemara is going to proceed to explain those two rules, those two requirements, if you hold like Rabbi Akiva, that it represents the physical sukkahs. Kiyasar of Dimi. Remember we spoke about this before, of Dimi, he came. Where was he coming from? Where was Dimi coming from? Where was he?
Oh, from Eretz Yisrael.
Right. Amar Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan was in Eretz Yisrael. When Rav Dimi came, he said in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, Amar Krav, Pasuk says, Chag HaSukkos Tasalecha. We've seen this Pasuk already a number of times. Chag HaSukkos, which we would normally translate to mean the holiday of Sukkos, Tasalecha, you have to make it. So Tasalecha, of course, is where we came to this idea, Tasa Velomino Asui, which we'll come back to momentarily. That has to be done. It can't be something that happens automatically later on. It can't be done badly with psul, and then later on you fix it. You're going to have to redo it. But also, what does it mean, Chag HaSukkos Tasalecha? How do you make a holiday? So that's funny. So Chag usually refers to like the Chagiga, the Korban Chagiga. And Sukkos usually refers to the physical Hatzar, at least the Schach. So why doesn't it just say Sukkos Tasalecha? Make yourself Sukkos. Why does it have to say Chag HaSukkos, like you make the holiday? What do you mean you make the holiday? So again and again and again, Chazal darshan this Pasuk. And one of the things that Chazal point out again and again is that Chag refers to Chagiga, and Sukkos refers to Schach and Sukkah. And so in our particular situation, the Gemara says, Makish Sukkah LeChagiga. There's a connection, a hekesh, a connection. The Gemara is connecting, the Pasuk is connecting Sukkah and Chagiga. Chagiga is a Korban Chagiga, right? Korban Shlomim, we spoke about before, that you would bring when you go to the Beis HaMikdash for Aliyah LeRega. So you bring a Korban Chagiga. Ma Chagiga! Just like the Chagiga is a davar she'ena makabel tuma, right? Animals, when they're alive. There's no tuma over there. They're alive. V'gidulim min ha'aretz. And animals grow from the ground. Waiting for that to sink in. What does Gemara mean? How are we going to translate the word gidulim min ha'aretz now? Not grow from the ground, but...
Made of dust, made of the earth?
Gidulo, meaning what do they eat?
Oh, they eat plants?
Yeah, so we're talking about an animal you bring for a korban. What animals are you allowed to bring for korbanos? This goes back to actually you were talking about korbanos.
They're herbivores.
Yeah, only animals that eat plants and whatnot. The what do you call them? The opposite?
Herbivores.
What do you call the opposite?
Carnivores.
Carnivores. All the carnivorous animals are not allowed to be brought on the mizbeach. The Rambam points out that this is very significant for us because in... I don't know about all of them, but certainly in some part of the idolatrous world, that was considered a much better sacrifice. If you were able to capture a lion or a tiger or one of these like animals and bring that to God, so that's a much greater sacrifice than to... I mean, how hard is it to capture the sheep and the cow, you know? Like, follow me, guys! They just do it, they're dull. So to capture one of those is a much bigger deal. The Kaddish Baruch Hu says, no! There are basically three animals that you bring to me. What are they? What are the three?
Birds.
Birds is a bidyeb. Birds is like usually for a poor person. But what are the main three animals, assuming you can afford it?
Ox.
Okay, so you have basically a cow or an ox. Keves. Or a sheep. What's the last one?
Ara.
Well, that's an ox basically, right?
Okay, so you have
cow, sheep, and... then as a goat. Excellent, excellent, excellent. Cows, sheep, and goats, which were, interestingly enough, the big gods of the time. Yeah, do you know that? Those are the big gods. Holy cow, okay, we still got the Hindus, whatever, they still worship the cow. And then you have the sheep, Mitzrayim already, that was a big deal. And then you have the goats. You know what the goats were associated with? I remember from last year, I think we discussed this. You know, the goats, they've got horns. The devil. The goats were always associated with demons and all kinds of things.
There's like this, like, Satanism's,
yeah.
Like, thing
of
the goat.
That's right. So that was always associated with those three things. So because of that, those are the three things that people, generally speaking, certainly would not use as sacrifices. To the contrary, fakert. They would sacrifice to the goats and to the sheep and to the cows, whatever, or at least they would use their images as idols and whatnot. So our sacrifices are actually to sacrifice the things everyone else believes in. According to the Rambam, that's the significance of Karbonos. In the Mor Nevuchim, Rambam writes that we basically are rooting out idolatrous beliefs by bringing those things. You with me on the idea? We don't believe in them, we kill them. And seriously, that's how the Rambam looks at it. Yeah, we take what they believe in, we're making a statement that we don't. The Rambam says, because we used to. Because we were part of that whole world. So in order to root out the belief, we create a cognitive dissonance within ourselves. And he doesn't use that word, cognitive dissonance. But that's what we do. And then we force ourselves to behave differently, and therefore, and thereby come to believe differently as well. But in any case, gidulo min haaretz means not that they grow from the ground, but rather that they're nourished by the ground. Or herbivores, as he said, that they're nourished from the ground, and they therefore grow, so to speak, from the ground. So afsuka, so the hekesh is just like a chagiga, as an animal, it's not makabel toma, and it nourishes from the grows from the ground. So to suka is something that is davrish ain't makabel toma, but gidulo min haaretz. So that's the Gemara's claim. Is that it's all based on the hekesh between chagiga and sukkah. Great kasha, bam kasha. Yeah.
Connection, hekesh?
Yeah, hekesh literally means a connection, the hekesh. Ima chagiga balei chayim. If you're right, why don't you say just like a chagiga is a living animal, av sukkah nami balei chayim. So sach can also be a living animal, or perhaps should be a living animal. That would be fun. That's absurd. What? Kiyas, so that the Gemara assumes that's a good rejection. Kiyas, Rabbi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Amar Kra. I mean, one ever suggested that you know, since Rabbi is Anani Akavit or something, that there should have to be a cloud. I guess you can't put a cloud on your sukkah, but you can put an animal on your sukkah. I don't know. Kiyas, Rabbi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Amar Kra. So now the Gemara has another answer that Rabbi said. And then Rabbi Yochanan asks from the Garnak Meikvecha. So if you take a look at this pasuk, if you have your fancy Gemaras, it'll be on the side. Otherwise, the pasuk says, the holiday of Sukkot, that's what we just said, is a hekesh, but whatever, the Pashup Shabbat, the holiday of Sukkot you shall make for yourselves 7 days, seemingly, Pashup Shabbat, at the time of year that you're gathering in, from to gather, from your Gorin and your Yekev. Gorin and Yekev means from your wine and your oil. So why does the Torah have to say that? You celebrate Sukkot at the time of year that you're gathering, you're harvesting all of your grapes and all of your olives. I mean, we know what time of year it is, right? You don't have to tell me the season. What is the significance? I'm asking Akash on the Pasuk, which is going to answer the question, right? Why does the Pasuk have to say that you celebrate Sukkot at the time of year of the harvest? We know what time of year it is. The answer is, it's telling you have to use it, right? It's telling you because that's what you're going to use for your sukkah. Chag v'sukkah ta'asa lecha. In the asiya of your sukkah is from those things that you just finished harvesting, namely the gerin and the yekev. So the Gemara says, b'psoiles gerin v'yekev hakasuv medaber. What do you, how do you translate psoiles? On Shabbos, already ochel mitoch psoiles, we say, right? You're not allowed to take the psoiles out of the ochel. Borer, right?
Yeah.
You have a bunch of fruit sitting there. You got your blueberries. A bunch of blueberries are all moldy. So what do? You want to pick out the moldy ones and serve the good ones. You're not allowed to do that. Shabbos, that's borer. You have to take out the good blueberries and serve the good blueberries. Or just eat them. But you're not allowed to take out the bad. So the psoilus means, like, the bad stuff, the additional stuff, the stuff you don't usually want. That's the psoilus. So what do we mean here? That the Torah is saying that what you're going to use for schach is the psoiles, the leftovers, of the gerin and the yekev, of the harvesting of the grapes and the olives. So what does that refer to? What would be the psoiles in that case? What does it mean? The psoiles of the gerin and yekev. Meaning the branches or the, I don't know, what do you call those things that the grapes, you pluck grapes off of? What do you call those things? The fingers, you know? Stems? What do you call it? It's got to be a better name for it. But whatever those things are, so those things you'd be allowed to use for schach, the psoiles, the stuff that you detach from the grapes and from the olives, whether it's the branches of the trees or it's those stems or whatever you want to call them, those are the things you're allowed to use for schach, but not the grapes and the olives themselves. Right? It's funny because we're trying to prove that you can't use for schach something that's makabel tumah. Food, fruit, is makabel tumah. So if the Torah is telling me that I'm supposed to use gerin and yekev means literally wine and oil. How do you know that?
Because it's
from the garner from
like just like
you
said, like,
but we're trying to deduce it. That's the problem.
Yeah.
So Torah says that you celebrate Sukkot at the time of year of the harvest of your grapes and your olives. So maybe, can you take an olive?
Well, it's
not going to
say the time of your harvest of the like branches. You're not
well, if that's what you're trying to tell me, then you should say that.
So
the Gemara says it's talking about the psoilus of the garden Yekev. That's the Latin Masapik with. So Gemara says, Gemara asks, I'm Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera said, Yekev ksiv kan. Yekev, it's talking about wine. And it's impossible to use it for schach. So he's not asking a question, sorry. He's making a statement. He's demonstrating that it must refer to the psoilus of. Because you can't do masachek with wine.
And
yeah. Maskev is an attack, Kasha. Okay, so far what the Gemara said was, according to Rabbi Eliezer, we can say that Eid Yalim in Aretz will prove to us that it has to be Namakabal Tumah and grow from the ground. When Rabbi Akiva holds that there was actual sukkah that we're trying to represent with our sukkah, so where do you know that it's not, can't be Makabal Tumah and has to grow from the ground? From this pasuk. Because this pasuk tells us that we are going to use for schach, Hagasukos Kasa Lecha, from, what do you make it out of? From those things that you gathered in, but it. Things he gathered in. I mean, it talks about wine and oil, but can't be wine and oil because that you can't use for schach. So must be the other things, meaning what's left over after you've produced your olives and your oil. Stems and the branches. Yeah. What makes fruit makabel tumah? Anything which is food is makabel tumah on its own. Why should that be? I don't know. But once it became washed, once it became touched water that you wanted to be on it, you washed it off, at that point it becomes makabel tumah. Why should it be? I don't know. Tumotar is a big coke. Branches are not food. They're just trees. It's not makabel tumah until you make it into a kli. Once it's a kli, it would be makabel tumah. Good question. So we're going to discuss that too. Maskifla Rebbe Yirmiya. Yeah, no, staff is supposed to be natural branches, right?
Oh, yeah, staff.
If it's only a kli for, as we were discussing this yesterday, it was with Jamie. It was only a kli for the staff. So then that's not called a kli, it's just you're attaching the stuff to make it easier to get it on and off. But kli means it's a kli, it's a usable object. Anyway, masculine Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi ask an attack kasha. The aim of Yayin Karush Haba Mishnir. So why don't you say you're supposed to use for schach, or at least you could use for schach, this congealed type of wine that comes from Shnir? Because it actually looks almost like one of those fig cakes. You know those fig cakes? You can still buy them in the store. All the figs are packed together in a little circle.
Yeah.
So we remember that from Bava Metzia, right? Gulei Devela. But apparently, Shneer, they produced in Shneer this thick, syrupy, almost like a congealed wine. Sounds interesting. That sounds actually interesting, huh? Anyway, but it looked almost like one of those cakes of fig cakes. So why can't you use that, he says. Maybe that's fine. You're not just supposed to use it. I don't know. Wow, I don't know, that's a good question. I remember Rabbi Zera said, Ha Milsa, this word, meaning this concept, the source for that Schach came from Kabbal Tumah, Hava Biyadan, we had in our hands. We had proof. V'as Rabbi Yirmiyah came along Rabbi Yirmiyah, V'shad Abay Narga, and he threw into it an axe. We call it a monkey wrench, you know? And he threw into what we thought was a good answer, he killed our answers, chopped it up into pieces. Because I don't know, you're right. Apparently you can use wine for schach. There is such a thing. So I don't know. So now it seems like we have to throw out that answer. Rav Ashi says, Mi garnecha v'lo goyren atzmoy. Mi kvecha v'lo yekev atzmoy. The mem in those words means from those things, but not all items in those things. Meaning anything which is the fruit or the wine or the oil, that you can't use. But the things that we're talking about is you're allowed, you're obligated to use for schach from those items. What do you mean from those items? The psoilus of those items and not those items themselves. Rav Chista said from another pasuk altogether, Se'u hahar reveal ali zayis rali eitz shemen rali hadas rali tmarin rali eitz avos. Originally, Sefer Ezra was called Sefer Ezra, right? Now we split it into Ezra and Nehemiah. But in any case, this is in the Nehemiah section of it. That over there, we're talking about celebrating Sukkot. So he tells them, go get branches. You know, go get all kinds of things you're going to need for the holiday. So what does he tell them to bring? Tzu'u hahar, go out to the mountain. V'haviu, and bring back alei zayis. What are alei zayis? Olive branches. V'alei eitz. Shemen, sorry. Alei eitz shemen. That's also olive. Eitz shemen is the olive tree. Okay, so Gemara doesn't explain that. V'alei hadas. Myrtle. V'alei tamarim. Date. That sounds like lulav and hadasim, right? V'alei eitz avos. And branches of the thick tree. What's eight avos? Do you know?
Oh,
no, the Torah uses that in the Arba Minim.
A cedar. That's like a
willow.
The other one.
A
willow. No, the other one.
The
myrtle. The myrtle. So eight avos, Arba Nachal is the what do you call it? The Arabos. We call them in English? Willows. The willows. But the hadasim are referred to in the Torah as anaf eitz avos. But arvei nachal, remember the pasuk? Yeah, anaf eitz avos. So the Gemara asks, I don't understand what the pasuk that tells you the what the shivas aminim are. Right, you have to get anaf eitz avos.
So we're getting like the secondary use out of the eitz, not only for the slap.
Yeah, you're right. It sounds like we're taking two things. That's what the Gemara says, because it says on the one hand alei hadas. And then it says Ali Tamarim, which is the lulav, it sounds like, maybe. And then it says Ali Eitz Avos. And Hadas branches. What you just said, Hadas branches. You call them Hadas. Now you call them Eitz Avos? What do you mean? Hadas is not Eitz Avos?
Uh-oh. Maybe it's the fruit of the tree, trouble. So
the Gemara says, Hano Rav Chisda says, Hano, Hayinu Hadas, Hano Eitz Avos. Hadas and Eitz Avos are the same thing. What's going on over here? Amar Rav Chisda. So Rav Chisda said, explain, Hadas Shoite L'suka, Hadas Avos, Lelulav. A stupid hadas. No. What's called a hadas shoyte is a certain type of hadas. That's for sukkah. And eight avos is for the lulav.
That makes no sense.
So what's going on over here? How does that prove anything? So Rashi writes, hadas shoyte, if you want to know what it is shayna kasher lelulav. A hadas shoyte is not valid for lulav. That's why it says it separately. Levishayin avoysoy asuya shalshalish alish alin. Because it doesn't have the proper dimensions of the hadassim. So what does this have to do with anything? So apparently everything on this list is things that are not makabel tumah. He's telling him to go get things, at least this one is for the sukkah, so they're telling him to go get all kinds of items for sukkahs, and there are branches or leaves. But he's not telling him to get any food items or anything like that, any fruit things, any those types of things. So it sounds like that you can't use anything that is makabel tumah. That's Rav Chisda's pasuk that he demonstrates it from. It's a little different than the other proof. In other words, sometimes the Gemara will bring a proof that says, oh, well, that's the pasuk indicates. Sometimes the Torah will tell you, the Gemara will bring you a proof like this one, which is, well, this isn't the Torah telling you anything, but that's what they did. So you see from the way that they did it what they were allowed to use. What we would call a gilui milsa. Okay, so let's start the next piece. The Mishnah says, "Chavile kash vechavile eitzim vechavile zeradim ein masachichin bohen." Bundles, chavilim are bundles. Bundles of straw, bundles of wood, bundles of some kind of grass or whatever it is. Ein masachichin bohen. You can't use them for schach. Why? What's the problem? But they sound like they're all fine things. Straw, wood, that's good. Oh, the bundles are the problem. The thickness, maybe. Okay, so the question is, what is it about the bundles that's problematic? So we have some suggestions. Something about the bundles is the problem. What? So chavile are bundles of. That's the yud at the end, it means bundles of. Oh, it's chavila. Chavila means a bundle. Chavile means bundles of. Some word is coming next. So, kash is straw, and eitzim is wood in general, and zradim is some kind of grasses or something like that that's going to dry out. The yesod of all of them, by the way, is that all of these things were things that people would basically put out in the sun to dry out. You know, like when you ever pass one of these farms, you always see these haystacks like drying out. So that's going to be important to understand the sugya. But in any case, so it says all these bundles are no good. Ein masachichin bohen. You're not allowed to use them for schach. V'kulan shaytiran, all of them, if you untied them, right? You guys know that, right? The word heter mutter, right? Mutter asr. Asr literally means tied up. And mutter means unbound, right? Meaning you can use this to access your relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. If it's asur, it's bound and it will not allow access between you, relationship between you and the Kaddish Baruch Hu. It's tied up. It's not accessible. But mutter means, yes, yeah, it's accessible. So all of these bundles, once you untie them, they're kasher. We're calling chairs to the founders, and all of them are kasher for the walls. Apparently, they need the commissioner needed to say that. So I will ask you a question. If you were writing this Mishnah and you wanted me to know that if you made a sukkah out of these things, it's no good. So how would you say it? What's the difference between saying ein mesachim b'hem and saying pasul or psula? What's the difference? One is actually saying that you're not allowed to do it, you should not do it, and one is saying that if you did it, it's fine, or alternatively, it's no good. But what is the difference in halacha between the two? Would it matter how you present it? No. Don't do this, or you shouldn't do this, versus if you did it, it's no good? No. One's what's called it.
There could be like a punishment involved.
Okay. But one is a language of what we call lechachila, and one is what we call a language of bidyevet. If a Mishnah tells you psula, then you know there's nothing you can do about it. You're stuck. The whole thing you did is puzzle. But if the Mishnah says don't do it, it's likely, unless there's a reason, and there's, unless you can explain another reason why the Mishnah did that, the rule is that's called lechachila, but it's kasher b'di'evet. Don't do it. Okay, but if I did?
It's kasher, it's just not.
Right? Shouldn't have done it. Don't do it. But if you did it, not puzzle. So it's interesting. So our Mishnah, unless until we can demonstrate a reason why, so far we should assume that the Mishnah means that you're not allowed to do it, lechatchila, but b'di'evid, you're yotze, you're sukkah with it. Are you with me on that? That's pretty important. So next time you read a Mishnah and it says, don't do this, ain't this, or whatever, so you should think in your mind, oh, that means that b'di'evid, it's okay. Sounds like it's a din, deraisa, derabanan. Derabanan. Deraisa is no such thing as lechatchila b'di'evid, right? Deraisa, either it's a mitzvah or it's not. There's no such thing as, well, you should do it this way. And if you didn't, oh, God says, all right, we'll talk. No, either you did a mitzvah or you didn't. There's no such thing as lechachilas and b'dievids on a deraisa level. When you find lechachilas and b'dievids, it means it's derabana. So, it sounds like if you're a betting man, this Mishnah is what? Then deraisa, then derabana. Derabana, and if a person actually made his sukkah with bundles, sounds like what? What did Yotze say? Did he have it? Yes. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yaakov, Shmas Mina, the Rabbi Yochanan, Tarti. We heard from him, from Rabbi Yochanan, two things. In other words, it's a little bit of a funny introduction, but that's how the Gemara starts off. Rabbi Yaakov says that I basically heard two things from Rabbi Yochanan. He commented on two Mishnayas, or two halachas, two dinim. Chada ha, one was this one. The idach and the other was hachaytid begadish, lasay slay sukkah, eina sukkah. One who digs out a haystack or some kind of stack. Digging out a haystack has to be some sort of stack that's made out of, you know, whether it's barley or whatever it is that we're talking about, but it comes with a, what do you call that thing? You know, the straw? Not stem. It's not stem you're talking about this. But whatever you call that thing that sticks out of the wheat and the barley and the oats and the rye, you know, that it's going to become like hay or straw or whatever once you cut it off. But at that point... the thing that he picks his teeth with when he's bored. Right, exactly. So, Huckleberry Finn. So, in any case, so, Chayte Begadish. Chayte means he digs out one of those stacks, whether it's whatever, haystack or whatever. Lasos le sukkah, to make for himself a sukkah, ain't a sukkah.
Not a sukkah.
L'chachil ar b'di'evet.
That, it's l'chachila, I think. No, is that for psula? Is that for psula?
Well, ain't a sukkah means it's not a sukkah.
So that means it's not cut. That
means it's your stock. It's no good, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So David said, that's a language of b'di'evet. So it sounds like, this is what, if you're a betting man, deraisa derabanan?
Deraisa.
Deraisa? So deraisa. Okay, so Rabbi Yonan commented on two cases. One was our Mishnah with the bundles on, putting bundles for schach. And the other case he commented on was a chayit begadish v'asayis a sukkah in a sukkah. If a person digs out a haystack and they make a sukkah, it's not a sukkah. Chada, Rabbi Yaakov said, one of them, he said, was a problem mishum because of gzeiras oitzer, because of the decree against a storehouse. We'll have to explain that as we go. V'chada, and one of them, mishum tasa v'lo mina osui, was a problem because it's a violation of it was made b'psul. Now you got to reconstruct it. Like we said, chakosukas tasa lecha, you have to do it right the first time. You can't have it become kosher later on. V'lo yodana, I don't know, hay minay mishum oitzar, which one was because of the storehouse gzeira, v'hay minayu, and which one of them, mishum tasa v'lo mino osui, was because of the principle, the psul, the raisa, of tasa v'lo mino osui. So which one's which, guys? No? Come on, I've been leading you. I've been leading you the whole time.
I just, like, didn't hear
you say
that.
I feel like the
Tasa, Tasa Vilmino
Asa. I feel like that's talking about
using
the bundles.
So let's say it like this. Come on, figure this out with me. So Rabbi Yochanan said we have two halachos. One halacha is that you're not allowed to use bundles for schach. And one halacha is if you dig out a haystack, it's not a sukkah. One of them is possible because of a gzeira of otzar, a decree against making like a storehouse. We don't know exactly what that means yet. And one of them is a problem because of tasa v'lo mina
asur. Because you're essentially digging out the haystack because you're digging something out, you're creating something.
Okay.
Then the other one is tasa v'lo mina asur. Because
that's the only one that's left.
That's the only thing, yeah. That's the only thing.
Anybody else?
It's the opposite, maybe.
Anybody else? Well, let's think about it this way. Tas Evelim and Asui is a Dereisa issue or a Derabonan issue?
I would say the Derabonan issue.
Is it Derabonan? Xeras Oitzar. Dereisa Derabonan.
That's
obviously Derabonan. Xeras Oitzar. Tas Evelim and Asui, perhaps it's Dereisa. Perhaps it's Derabonan. Could be Dereisa, though, right? Because the Pasuk is Chagasukos. So it sounds like Tasa v'lo mino asui is a real Doraisa problem. Okay, so now you have the answer, don't you? The lashon of the Mishnah is lechalchiler b'di'evet. The lashon of the haystack is Doraisa. It was lechalchiler b'di'evet. Which one?
The haystack.
The haystack says a chaytei begadish. If a person digs out a haystack, ain't a sukkah. That's exera, it's deraisa. It's the language of lechalchiler b'di'evet. B'di'evet.
Why?
So it's no good. It says ain't a sukkah. No, you knew about it.
So that's the first one.
So that's got to be deraisa. When the Mishnah we said what? It doesn't say ain't a sukkah. It says what? Ain masachachin bahen. You're not allowed to use them for svach, but if you did, sounds like okay. You're going to see sukkah. So that one sounds like it's mishum zeiras oitzer. So if you're a betting man, you've already answered this question, right? Sounds like this is bothering Rabbi Yaakov. I don't know which one Rabbi Yochanan said on which. I do.
If it's zero rice, then you're not lenient about it, right?
What,
zero
rice?
Yeah.
No good.
So then why, if you get it, then is it okay?
It's not deraisa, but derabanan. If it's nisar derabanan,
you did it, then it's fine.
No, in a sukkah it says in a sukkah. That's why we're suggesting that's tasa v'lo mina asur. You're stuck. Okay, so that's a good question. What was really bothering Rabbi Yaakov? This is so hard to figure out. So, Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah said, Nechzei Anan. What does Nechzei Anan mean? Anan means us. Nechzei, Chazi. To see. Chazi, let's see. Let us see. So, Amar Rabbi Chia Barabba said, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan. What is the reason why you're not allowed to use the things listed in our Mishnah? These bundles, why are you not allowed to use them for schach? You ready for this? Pe'amim, what's pe'amim? Sometimes she'adam ba min hasadeh. A person comes from the field, bo erev, in the evening, v'chavilas el kseifoy. And his bundles are on his, what are
shoulders.
Umala, and he lifts them up. Umanicha, and he puts them down. Al gabe sukasoy, on top of his sukkah. Why? Kidei liyavsha. To dry mouth. Right? All of these things are, hey, that's what we were saying before, right? You're going to dry them out. All these things you want to dry out. So where's the best place to dry them out? First of all, not when they're not on the ground. Raise up off the ground so they're not absorbing moisture from the ground. And second of all, in the sunlight.
It's the same concept of the shirt, of drying the shirt.
Yeah, exactly. That's why he did it, right? Because it's not absorbing moisture and it's dripping off. And it's higher up, you know, hopefully in the sun. Especially if it's a real sukkah, there's no tree on top of it. So this is perfect. So he says, I'm gonna dry them out on top of the sukkah. Did he put them there for shade underneath it? Absolutely not. V'nimalach means he went back, he changed his mind or whatever. V'nimalach alay changed his mind upon it. L'sichuch, and he left it there. He, keyword, left it there. For schach. V'atayra amra, and the Torah said, taseh v'lo min asui. You have to put it there as schach, and not that it becomes there later. So the problem here is when he put it down for schach, it was not for shade. It was there because he wanted to dry it out. So it was not intended to be a shade covering at all, and that is no good for schach. That passes the schach. So that was easy. Midoha mishum gzeiras oitzar, process of elimination, Adam. Midoha mishum gzeiras oitzar. Since that one is because of the decree of oitzar, of a storehouse, ha mishum tasav no asui, so obviously the haystack was called tasav alo mino asui.
What?
What? I'm so confused. We just finished saying that if you put bundles on top of your sukkah to dry out, you passel the sukkah d'oraisa because it's tasev v'lomino asui. And because this one's because of gzeiras oitzar, the other one is tasev v'lomino asui. You following? This gemara doesn't make any sense, right? Okay, follow this. This is in the Rashi, but just follow this. It's like this. Our case of bundles is not this case. Read it carefully. The gemara said, why did Rabbi Yochanan say you're not allowed to be masachek with bundles? When you're masachek with bundles, why are you masachek with bundles? Because they happen to be tied together and using them for schach. You're not drawing them out. They're bundles of schach. Sometimes you buy schach and it's already in bundles. So is that a problem? The answer is yes, it's a problem to our bundle. Why? Because sometimes a person might be coming from the field and he has his bundles and he puts them on the sukkah to dry out. That case is psul daraisa. If you end up using such a sukkah, it's tasav elamino asui. That's not our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is talking about a case where a guy used the bundles for actual schach. So that's a gzeira mishum oitzar. Because of a case when a person used it as like a storehouse, when he used it to just store the schach and let it dry out. The drying out case is taka psul daraisa of tasav elamino asui. But our Mishnah, said Rabbi Yochanan, is a psul of gzeiras oitzar. You're not allowed to use bundles because we're afraid that they're going to be times or people are going to think it's okay or they're going to end up doing it, whatever, that you're going to end up using bundles for schach that were up there to dry out. Okay, that's a little bit of a mouthful, but if you read the Gemara carefully, that's actually what Rabbi Yochanan is saying. Even though he doesn't spell it out, so it's confusing when you read the Gemara. But that's what Rabbi Yochanan is saying. So then the Gemara says, okay, so Mishum, if that's because of Zeras Oitzar, so Achote Begadish, when a person digs out a haystack, obviously that is in and of itself a psul of Tasev Elomino Osui. So were we on target with our Dero, our Lechachilas and Bidiyevids?
Yes.
Totally. Good job. V'Rebbe Yaakov, Hafti Rebbe Chiyavar Abba Lishmiyale. And Rebbe Yaakov, why didn't he just come to the same conclusion or ask Rabbi Yochanan, or if he knew that already from Rabbi Yochanan, what's the problem? This comment of Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, which was in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, either he didn't agree or maybe he just simply never heard it. So let's go with he just never heard it. Are you trying to say, says Rabashi, Amar Rabashi, Rabashi said, Atu, does it come along? Are you going to say that chavilei kash and chavilei etzim, these bundles, only have a problem of mishum because only problematic because of zeiras oitzar ika there is mishum tasev nasui, but tasev elomin asui leka there is not. At the end of the day, they're bundles, right? They're bundled up, so it really does depend, right? If they were put there not for the purpose of shade, then there really is tasav uminasur. And if they were put there for shade, it's at least a psul derabbanan at this point, right? Because rabbanan said you're not allowed to use it for schaf. So don't yet. So isn't that also a derabbanan application of tasav uminasur? Wait, let's think that through for a second. If the rabbanan say that bundles of schaf are psul derabbanan, and you use them for schaf, so you might be yotzei daraisa, maybe. That's a conversation we need to have. When the Rabbanan passel something, does it affect the daraisa? I'm going to give you like a crazy case where you have a guy and you know we don't blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, that's on Shabbos. But the Reform Temple does. They only have one day Rosh Hashanah. So he's very frum. So what's he going to do? He wants to make sure he hears shofar on Shabbos, Rosh Hashanah, yotzei daraisa. No one else is going to hear shofar on Rosh Hashanah this year except those people and me. I'm the only Orthodox guy.
It says in the Torah that you're supposed to listen to your rabbis.
Okay. So the question is, if a person goes ahead and listens to that shofar blowing, is he yotzei daraisa? Or once the Rabbanan said what they said, then that it doesn't, it's just not true anymore. If the Rabbanan say that this bundle is schach pasul, does that mean that you would be yotzei still daraisa in such a sukkah? Or it actually invalidates the sukkah daraisa? So that's an interesting conversation that has to be had at some point. How far does the Rabbanan go? How far does the koach of the Rabbanan go? Is it that, like David is suggesting, that because of Kodesh Baruch Hu, you have to listen to the rabbis, so the Mamela, that's a
Daraisa? Over time, like, things change, and that's why you got to listen to like the rabbis of the generation.
For sure. But can you still be Yotzei Daraisa? That's a really interesting question. Okay, but in any case, it says at least pasul schach derabbanan. Once the Rabbanan said that the bundles are not allowed to use them, it's at least schach pasul derabbanan. So isn't that also a tasev lo mino asui? You have to untie them. In fact, that's what the Mishnah said, right? The kulan sheheiti ran cheros. Once you untie them, they're kasher. Okay, so let's see. So in any case, the Gemara says, are you sure? Adu chavile kash chavile eitzim mishum xeros oitzar ikav mishum tasev lo asui leka? There's no tasev v'lo mino asui problem by the bundles. V'achleitet begadish, and if a person takes out a haystack, mishum tasev v'lo asui ika, it's only, there is only because of tasev v'lo asui, mishum gzeres oitzar leka, and there's no gzera there of oitzar, that a person put down the haystack in order to dry it out. V'Rabbi Yechanan amar lecha, Rabbi Yechanan would say to you, hacha dekatani ein mesachich in bohen. In the Mishnah, when it says you're not allowed to use it for schach, Licha techila hu de ein mesachin. It's only, I don't know, only, but it is licha techila. It is only from the outset that you're not allowed to use it for schach. Mishum gzeras oitzar, because that's a gzera of oitzar. Ha deraisa shapir dami, but deraisa it would be good. Hasam over there by the haystack de katani ein asuka afila diaved. Even bidi eved midaraisa nami einasuka daraisa, that is not good no matter what. So that's how we started. That was our diuk for the mission in the first place, and that's how the Gemara concludes. So we're safely on target. Okay, we are going to stop there for today.